Good morning. Today is the 8th of Av. Tomorrow Shabbos is the 9th of Av. So we'll quickly go through some halachot that are relevant to Shabbat. So the first halacha that's relevant to us is what it says in the beginning of the laws of Tisha B'Av, and that is that we have two prohibitions, two customs of prohibitive nature. One is that we don't do laundry this week, and two is that we don't wear freshly laundered clothing this week. Two separate things. People connect the two. Really, they're not connected. It's two separate things. We don't do laundry even if we'll wear the clothing next week. We don't wear freshly laundered clothing even if we laundered them 2 weeks ago. So, for us Ashkenazim, when it comes to the final Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, what's called Shabbat Chazon, so our custom is that we do wear fresh clothing for a Shabbat, but this custom is against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Meaning the Ramah writes that we don't change clothing in honor of Shabbos. We don't have the custom to go with the Ramah on this. The Gra disagrees, and our custom is like the Gra, that we do wear freshly laundered clothing in honor of Shabbos. It used to be the custom, and today we have a remnant of it. It used to be the custom that in honor of Shabbos, they would spread a different parochet on the Aron HaKodesh. Today we do it in honor of the Yomim Noraim, the high holidays. We do it in honor of the three festivals, the Shol Shagalim. But it used to be the custom that every Shabbos, they would change the parochas. They had a special curtain for Shabbos and a curtain for the weekdays. And today, the remnant we have of that is that we spread tablecloths in honor of Shabbat. Most shuls have white tablecloths on the tables in honor of Shabbat. So the Ramah writes that if it's the Shabbos prior to Tisha B'Av, what's called Shabbat Chazon, then you spread out the Shabbos tablecloths and the Shabbos parochet on the Aron HaKodesh. But if it is like this year, where Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and it is postponed to Sunday, so then you do not spread out the Shabbos parochet on the Aron HaKodesh. You do not spread out tablecloths on the tables in honor of Shabbat. I think probably in the Mahon they did already, but in our shul, Bezrat Hashem, they won't. So what happens if a person's getting married this week? So then on Shabbat, they're allowed to wear special clothing, even according to the Ramah. This is their mitzvah, this is their day of happiness, even though it's Shabbat Chazon. So point number one with regards to this Shabbat is that we have more stringent customs because Tisha B'Av actually fell out on Shabbat. When you come to shul tonight, so then most Ashkenazi shuls will sing the Lecha Dodi in the tune of Eli Tzion, the final lamentation we say on Tisha B'Av morning. So in that tune they will sing the Lecha Dodi, and again this is a remnant of the morning of Tisha B'Av that does get mentioned on Shabbat. Tomorrow morning in the Haftarah, so the Haftarah is read in the tune of Lamentations, most of the Haftarah, that's the Ashkenazi custom. And when it comes to learning Torah, so then ordinarily from today in the afternoon, from today Chatzos, the afternoon prior to Tisha B'Av, we cease to learn the happy things that we would learn on a regular day. We start learning only things that are sad, like the laws of Tisha B'Av, like the book of Job, like most of the book of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, like Eicha and the Midrashim on Eicha. And this year, so Shabbat is Tisha B'Av, so on Shabbat we're going to have a festive Shabbat meal, right? We're going to have a regular Shabbat. Tisha B'Av is pushed off to Sunday. Well, can we learn whatever we want on Shabbat? So there are two opinions as far as that goes. There's an opinion that says you could do whatever you want on Shabbos, learn whatever you want. And there's an opinion that says, learn things that are sad. No one has to know why you're learning Jeremiah today. That's not an overt form of mourning on Shabbat. Could be you learn Jeremiah every Shabbos. Who knows? So we don't do overt mourning, but covert mourning, like choosing to learn other things, that's something which one should do. So if a person is comfortable learning Midrashim Anecha and things that are in line with the day, so one could do that. If one says, every Shabbos I learn the laws of Shabbos, every Shabbos I learn my Shmirat HaLashon, I learn whatever it is I learn, so he doesn't have to break from his regular learning. Yes?
You said not to learn from Chatzot on the day before. Does that apply today?
I didn't see anyone that says that it should apply today. I didn't find that, yeah. Even though technically it should apply from today, yeah. But I couldn't find it. Could be it says somewhere, I couldn't find it. Ordinarily, after the fast day, on Motzei Tisha B'Av, so then we have a custom that we wait until the morning in order to take a haircut and to do our laundry, because the our tradition is that on the 8th, 9th, the 7th, 8th, and 9th of Av was when the Romans were partying in the temple. And on the 9th of Av in the afternoon, they were finally able to scorch, to put on fire the Beit HaMikdash. And the Beit HaMikdash burnt from the afternoon of Tisha B'Av till noon of the 10th of Av. And as such, we have a custom to hold on to a little bit of the morning going until the afternoon of the 10th. Well, this year, our whole Tisha B'Av is going to be on the 10th. So we don't have to take it over to the next day, to the 11th, till midday. There's no point. Yes?
So you said that the actual burning was throughout the afternoon of the night. Why then do we only start to put tefillin on in the afternoon?
We'll get to that in a few minutes, okay? Yes? Okay. So on Shabbat, we're going to make kiddush ordinarily. We're going to drink the wine. We're going to eat meat ordinarily. And we're going to have a normal Suda Shlishit, which means tomorrow afternoon, even though it's the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, you can eat meat and drink wine and have whatever meal you want to have. You just have to end the meal before sunset, before Shkia. Yes?
When we're talking about the fast of Tisha B'Av, from what I understood, if you have a Brit Milah,
we'll get there. We'll get there. So on Shabbat, we're allowed to eat and drink normally. But what happens Motzei Shabbat? So you have to make Havdalah. You can't make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat because it's the 9th of Av already. So on Motzei Shabbat, it's going to be like this. Number one, you're going to say Havdalah in prayer, right? Every Motzei Shabbat in prayer, Atachon Antanu, we say Havdalah. Technically, that's also kosher Havdalah. Those who do not come to shul, let's say the women who are at home, and many women don't daven Ma'ariv, so then they should say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. That's their step one of Havdalah. Number two, so even though it's Tisha B'Av, you can make the blessing over fire, Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. We don't make a blessing over Psamim, but we can make the blessing over fire. And number three, when it comes to the blessing over wine, and then the blessing of Havdalah, that we will postpone to Sunday night. On Sunday night, we will finally make Havdalah. We're not supposed to party tomorrow afternoon. So even though I'm allowed to eat meat and I'm allowed to drink wine, I'm not supposed to invite a bunch of friends and make this big party out of Suda Shlishit. So we're going to have a regular Shabbos meal, but we all know where we're headed. Is a person allowed to take Kalei Tzom tomorrow? They have this natural supplement that helps people overcome the fast. So you're allowed to take a natural supplement on Shabbos if it makes you feel well. You and I both know you're doing it in preparation of the fast. It's still okay. It's not an overt hachana. There are actions which we say are not a major action. It's a small step a person does. You take food out of the fridge, you put it back in the fridge. You're doing it for Sunday and Monday. You're doing it to prepare the food. You toss your meat in the freezer. You're doing it in anticipation of the future days. But a small action is okay. So that's why a person would be allowed to take Kalei Tzom, to take the supplement that helps people get through the fast. They're allowed to take it on Shabbat. Yes?
How come folding a Tali on its creases is considered a big action?
It's not because of the preparation, it's because you're strengthening the creases. Folding the talit is okay. The creases are very often a part of, like, the crease in a pants. It's part of giving the garment its shape. Yes?
I just want to be clear. No, you make it with the fire.
You just say the blessing on fire. Matzei Shabbat, most shuls will turn on a fire. Matzei Shabbos, make a borei me'orei ha'esh.
It's Sunday night. Wine,
right. No psalmim.
No.
No psalmim this week. This week we won't have psalmim. Okay. So on Tisha B'Av, we're not going to eat. We're not going to drink. We're not going to wash ourselves. We're not going to wash out our mouths and brush our teeth. We're not going to anoint ourselves. We're not going to wear shoes. You could wear things that are made of rubber. We're not going to sit on a chair, just like people in mourning sit on the ground. Now, the point here is a little different. It's not that I have to sit on the floor. It's that I should sit on a lower chair. So if you have a kiddie chair, that's okay. Some say it should only be a tefach high, others say three tefach. That's okay if someone's giving you a ride in the car. So in the car, you sit on a high chair. It's not a low chair. Right, but that's not sitting for the sake of pleasure. You're just sitting on en route. To sit on a bus, do you have to sit on the floor on the bus? No, you don't have to sit on the floor. Should you stand? If you're strong enough, you could stand. When does this end? So many people have the custom that they do this until Chatzot, till midday of Tisha B'Av. There's room to be lenient, and Ashkenazim would do it until they finish the morning prayer. The morning prayer usually lasts pretty long because we add all the kinot, all the different lamentations. But when you finish the morning prayer, you could sit on a regular chair. Tomorrow afternoon, we do not say Pirkei Avot. The Navi in Eicha describes Tisha B'Av, so he says, Kara alai moed lishbor bachurai. God made a designated time to destroy us. Tisha B'Av is the designated time when we had recurring tragedies. So Chazal understood that the words Kara Alai Moed, God made a designated time for me, revealed to us another aspect of Tisha B'Av, and that is that Tisha B'Av in a certain way is like a holiday. And that's why tomorrow afternoon, we won't say Tzidkat HaTzedek, just like when there's a holiday coming up. We don't say Tzidkat HaTzedek. We won't do it on Tisha B'Av afternoon. We don't learn Torah during Tisha B'Av other than the sad things of Torah. So whatever is a part of prayer, so you could say it. But whatever is not a part of prayer, you don't go reading Korbanot and things which you wouldn't say on a regular day. Whatever you say on your regular prayer, you're allowed to say on Tisha B'Av. We postpone putting on Talit and Tefillin till the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. We put them on in Mincha. Even women who are pregnant and nursing will very often fast on Tisha B'Av. We wash our hands to the knuckle, right? When we wash our hands, we're not supposed to wash more than necessary. Technically, washing our hands till the knuckle is okay. So we're going to do, that's how we wash our hands on Tisha B'Av. What happens if your hands get dirty? You're preparing food for your kids or something and your hands get dirty, so you could wash them. A person uses the facilities and they feel their hands aren't clean, so they can clean themselves off. A person doesn't have to stay dirty. Chazal didn't want us to do washing that was pleasurable, but whenever a person's dirty, they're allowed to wash that off. Yes?
How come, from what I understood, the halacha is if you need to eat and you wash your hands for bread, don't
I don't know. I don't know if what you're saying is right. That's not what I remember. But I have to look. I don't know. I don't know why he says that.
Vinny, you're talking about washing your hands to the wrist.
Don't know. Okay, so we said you're not allowed to wear shoes made out of leather, but shoes made out of other material is okay. It's a good idea on Friday afternoon to bring your Crocs or whatever it is with you to shul so that on Motzei Shabbat you have what to wear. Because on Shabbat you're not supposed to prepare and bring along your Tisha B'Av shoes to shul. You're going to come to shul on Shabbat, and then you pray Motzei Shabbat, and then you're supposed to take off your shoes. After the Chazan says Baruch Hu, you take off your shoes. So what are you going to wear on your way home? So you could wear your shoes, you don't have to hurt your feet on the way home, but if you bring your Crocs or whatever it is in advance to shul, then you'll, that's better, then you won't have to wear your shoes. If you didn't, so you'll wear your shoes on your way back home. We separate the beds. Men and women don't sleep in the same bed on the night of Tisha B'Av, because a person has to make sure that he doesn't come to having intimacy on the night of Tisha B'Av. Intimacy is forbidden on Tisha B'Av. We don't say shalom to someone on Tisha B'Av. If someone forgets or they don't know and they tell you shalom, so you answer them in a heavy-headed manner where it's clear you're not so happy, but you do answer them. We don't go for strolls, we don't go partying, we don't sit and surf the web. Chazal wanted us on this day to be focused on the mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem. And so Tisha B'Av morning, when we sit in shul, we're not supposed to take a break and go outside for a stroll. We're supposed to be focused on saying the kinot, the lamentations. There are many people whose custom it is not to work at all on Tisha B'Av. There are those who are more lenient after Chatzot, after midday. Ideally, we're not busy doing our job on Tisha B'Av. A person is supposed to focus on the mourning. Really, we should be mourning the destruction of the temple every day of the year. So at least, as the Gemara says, "Kedayu Beit Elokeinu," the house of our God is worth taking a day off, taking a day to think about the ramifications and the loss that we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. So our custom is that we wait until midday, and then we're more lenient. Chazal tell us whoever does work on Tisha B'Av will not see blessing from that work. Nothing good will come of it. Don't think you're accomplishing something by working on Tisha B'Av. Chazal say whoever partakes of the mourning over the temple will merit to see the rebuilding of the temple. The Talmud says there was a city that was destroyed, and the reason it was destroyed was because as Jerusalem was being destroyed, that city had all their lights lit, everything was okay by them, so they could lead life as usual. And so Hashem had them be destroyed as well. Okay, we wear our tzitzit on Tisha B'Av, but our talit and tefillin, we wait until midday. Here, Chazal taught us that we, in midday, we switch. We start shifting to the idea of the Mashiach being born on Tisha B'Av, the idea of comfort on Tisha B'Av. There's an element of mourning, and then there's an element where we end our kinot with anticipation of things turning better. Yes?
Yeah. Just two simple questions. As you know, this school is very Orech friendly. So some of us have guests coming for Shabbat, so our Sudas, even though it's our Minhag not to, in some cases people come to us and say, we need a spot.
That's fine.
We can't say no. What should that conversation? Because it's a long meal we're having fish and meat.
What Sudas Shlishit?
What should that conversation be? What can you have usual Devar Torah, or should it be more towards what you do?
We're talking about Sudas Shlishit?
Specifically.
That's fine. Chazal meant don't make a party. Don't go inviting all your friends. But having guests is, yeah, you have guests like you usually do, that's fine.
The other question is, we have an Ored coming, this Ored, it's very early Monday morning. Can we fix up her bedding on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, there's an ancient custom, a Jerusalem custom. The people would start setting up their houses on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av in anticipation Mashiach's coming. So they used to clean up the houses on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. Yeah. Okay, so on the night of Tisha B'Av, we reduce our comfort level. Some people sleep on the floor, some people put a stone under their pillow. The idea is, if you sleep with two pillows, sleep with one. That we do something to diminish our pleasure, our own pampering, in commemoration of the destruction of the temple. Each person will gauge what's right for them. If a person says, you know, if I don't sleep comfortably, I'm not going to fall asleep, I'm going to be wiped out, so don't do this. But if it's possible, then a person should diminish their own honor. When I come to shul, I sit on the floor. So people offer me a little stool or a mat to sit on, and I say, no, let me sit on the floor and get a little dirty. One day a year, we could forget our own honor. We're commemorating the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. When we pray Shmona Esrei, so Ashkenazim, on the Mincha of Tisha B'Av, add the prayer of Nachem. I recommend you take a minute today to look at that prayer. Maybe we'll look at it right now. Someone have a sitter? Okay, so in the prayer of Iliru Shalayim Ircha, so we say the following prayer. Nachem, we're talking about Jerusalem being rebuilt, so we say, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu et Avelei Tzion et Avelei Yerushalayim. We ask Hashem, please comfort the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. Ve'ta'ira ve'la v'chariva v'abzuya v'shomima, and comfort the city that is in mourning and destruction, that is being scorned as it is in desolation. Ha'avelami b'nivanea, the city that is in mourning without her children, v'acharevami monotea, and that's been destroyed from the housing. V'abzuyami kvoda, it's scorned from its honor. V'ashomima me'en yoshev, it's desolate without its inhabitants. V'hi yoshevet v'rosha chafui, and that city sits there, her head's uncovered. Ki isha akara shelo yalada, as though she never gave birth to all the people. And so the different legions and foreigners have taken over. And they've placed us to the mercy of the sword. And they have purposely murdered the pious ones, the exalted pious people. That's why Zion cries bitterly, V'Yerushalayim titen kola, and Jerusalem makes her voice heard. Libi, libi al chalaleihem, me'ay al chalaleihem. My heart goes out over the corpses, my innards turn over the people who were murdered. Ki ata Hashem be'esh itzata, because you, Hashem, you burnt the temple with fire. That's what we learned last night, that angels came to teach the Romans how to burn the temple. They couldn't figure out how you burn the stones of the temple. Uva'esh ata atid livnota, and we know, Hashem, that you will ultimately rebuild the temple with fire. Ka'amur, as the verse says, v'ani e'yelach num Hashem chomatesh saviv, God says, I will be your wall, your fortress of fire around you. Ulchavod eyeh betocha, I will be the honor of Jerusalem within it. Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem Menachem Tzion Uvonei Yerushalayim, who comforts Zion and rebuilds Jerusalem. So this prayer is written in the Gemara, and the Sfardi custom, this is a discussion that dates back to the days of the Gaonim. Rav Natronai Gaon says that we say it in every Shmona Esrei. Rav Haigon disagreed, and our Ashkenazi custom is like him, that we only say it at Mincha in the afternoon, because Mincha was the time when they set the fire to the temple, so that's when we start asking Hashem to comfort us. So the Sfardi custom is that on Mairiv and Shachrit, they say this prayer, but instead of saying Nachem, Hashem comfort us, they say Rachem, Hashem have mercy over us, over what's happened. And only in the afternoon do they start saying Nachem, Hashem please comfort us. So that's one addition. Then when we reach the blessing of Shomea Tefillah, again, us Ashkenazim at Mincha, we add the prayer of Aneinu, Hashem please answer us on our day of fast. If a person is not fasting, they can still say Nachem. If a person is not fasting, they can still say Aneinu. But instead of saying on our day of fast, he says Biyom HaTzomazan, this day of fast. He himself is not fasting. And at the very end of Shmona Esrei, if you look in most sitters, it's printed. So the Talmud says that at the end of any fast day, a person should say, at the mincha of any fast day, a person should say at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, Ribono Olamim, Master of all the worlds, Galui V'yadu Alefanech, it's known before you that Bizman Shebet Amidash Kayam, when the temple used to be built, Adam Chotem Makriv Korban, after a person transgressed, they could bring a sacrifice, Ven Makrivin Mimenu Alechelbo V'damo Mitkaper, we would offer the fats, the blood, and then we'd get forgiveness. V'achshav, and now we don't have a temple, but yashavti b'tanit, I fasted this whole day, v'nitmet chelbi v'dami, and so my own fats and blood have been reduced because of the fast. Yiratzon mirfanecha, may it be your will, she'yeh chelbi v'dami she'nitmet hayom, that the reduction of my fat and blood will be ke'ilu ikhavtiv lefanecha l'gabei ha'mizbech, as though I brought them as a sacrifice before you, v'tirtzeini, and so I should find favor before you. So that's an addition that's written. So we said three additions in the mincha of the fast day. On the mincha, we're going to add Nachem in the blessing of Jerusalem. We're going to add Aneinu in the blessing of Shema Koleinu. And at the very end of Shmoneh Esrei, we have this Ribon Kol Olamim. Yes?
I might be taking this too literally, but when it's talking about fats and blood, only from my understanding of carbon toda, you give the fats and the blood and not the meat, right?
Okay. But it's a constant for all korbanot. All korbanot
right, but
have that.
Hashem and Achata,
you do more, but you always have that component.
Oh, so it's viewed as doing more, not as a separate.
Yeah. Okay. So. On Sunday night, after the fast, so you're allowed to take a haircut, you're allowed to do laundry, because this year Sunday night is already the after the 10th. What we do not do Sunday night is we don't eat meat and drink wine. For that, we'll wait till the morning. But all the other things we can do on Sunday night, because Tisha B'Av is pushed off. Because Tisha B'Av is pushed off. Tomorrow night, on Motzei Shabbat, we read Eicha in Shul. And after Eicha, we have a short keynote. And then Sunday morning, we will again read the keynote after prayer. Sunday morning, we will read in the Torah. And we have a Haftarah. And then in the afternoon, again, we read in the Torah, like every fast day, and again we have Haftarah. From the time we read Eicha, so this, we find this concept in two places that I know of in Halacha. We view it as the reading of the Megillah is a fulfillment of living through that part of the Megillah. We view it as this isn't just a rendition, let's read what it says, but rather the reading is bringing out a concept into reality. And that's why when we pray the evening prayer before Eicha, so then we'll say a Kaddish, and as we do after every prayer, we say Titkabel, may our prayer be accepted before you. Once we read Eicha, so then we say in Eicha that Hashem put Sakota ve'anan lach me'avol tefila. You placed clouds, so to speak, as a barrier between us and you, so our prayers couldn't even penetrate and reach the heavens. So our sages say that there's a spiritual reality that with the destruction of the temple, our prayers are not as accessible. We God isn't as accessible to us to our prayers. And in light of that, from the minute we read Eicha at night until the next afternoon, we will not say Titkabel, may our prayers be accepted. So on the night prayer tomorrow night, Motzei Shabbat, we say Titkabel, because we didn't yet read Eicha. Once we read Eicha, so then you won't say Titkabel until the next evening. Where else do we find this? Also in the curses of the Torah. It says you don't give someone an aliyah for the curses, because it's going to sound like the Baal Korah is talking to him. It says Hashem will punish you. Who's it talking to? So we see that the reading it's as though it has an impact, a fulfillment of what's actually being read. Yes?
What do you mean that the gates were locked? It says the gates were locked except for the Shar Ona'ah, right?
Okay.
I mean, it's Tisha B'Av, it's full of Ona'ah.
Okay.
What do you mean it's not accepted?
What do you mean that it's full of Ona'ah?
We're made cheap and we're
that's not Ona'ah.
Ona'ah
is afflicting someone unfairly.
Oh, it's unfairly?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes?
You just mentioned about the Scottish. Are there any changes in the Kaddish the Rabbanan and the Yotam also?
No, that's the same. Some people postpone Kiddush Levana till after Tisha B'Av. There is a halakha which is in dispute, and that is what does a person do if they have a circumcision on Sunday, being that Tisha B'Av is pushed off from Shabbat to Sunday. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the person who's doing the circumcision, so he doesn't finish his fast. That in the early afternoon, he davens mincha, and then he does havdalah, and then he can eat and drink and break his fast. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. And this includes the father, the mother, and the mohel, and the sandak, the one holding the baby. Others say that we never accepted this halacha, that you've never seen in your life someone who doesn't fast on Tisha B'Av or Shivas Al B'Tammuz just because they were postponed from Shabbat. And that's why there are two different approaches to this halacha. A number of years ago I did a brit on Sunday for someone. It was Shivas Al B'Tammuz that was on a Shabbos and it was postponed to Sunday. And in fact I fasted till the end of the fast. That's my tradition. But again, if someone is going to be lenient, well, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There's a custom that after Shul on Tisha B'Av, people go without big fanfare. After they finish their prayer, they go to the graveyard. And going to the graveyard is, if you're going to a Jewish graveyard, then your hope is that the dead will also pray on our behalf. And if not, then if you don't have a Jewish graveyard in your neighborhood, you go to a non-Jewish graveyard, because it's to show that we feel like we're one of them. So going to the graveyard is supposed to arouse a person to a realization of what the fast day is really all about. Yes?
What's this concept of them praying for us and us praying for them?
Okay, that's a good question, but not for now. We finish the fast, and then we break the fast. We make Havdalah, and then we eat and drink. A person has to take care to drink a lot after the fast, not only before the fast. Very often when people suffer the ramifications of the fast, it's more because they weren't careful how to break the fast than the fast itself. So people have to be careful for the 24, 36 hours after the fast to drink a lot. That's more important than the prep. The prep is very important, but it's very, very important how you break the fast. A person who isn't fasting for whatever reason should not be a shalich tzibur. They should not get an aliyah to the Torah. On mincha of a fast day, we say birkat kohanim. If a person is not fasting for whatever reason, they should leave the shul. They shouldn't be there. They should not be part of the kohanim that are doing birkat kohanim. Chazal instituted that there are things we do all year long to remember that the temple was destroyed. So, number one, a person that's going to visit the Kotel tears their shirt and says, Tzion hayta midbar shmama, Zion has become a desolate desert. Bet kodshenu v'tifarteinu, the holy house that was our glory, asher hilelucha bo avoteinu, that our forefathers used to praise you in there, hayali srifat esh, has now become burnt by fire, v'chol machmadeinu hayal choba, and our precious place has become destruction. And then a person tears their shirt. Here in Israel, for whatever reason, people do not tear their shirt when they go to the Kotel, even if they haven't seen the Kotel in 30 days. It's not clear why. If a person is going to tear their shirt, the way in Chutz Lartz is our custom when we visit the Kotel, so then he should at least keep it covered. People shouldn't see it, because in Israel, for whatever reason, that's not the custom nowadays. Even though it's clear in the Mishnah and in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch that this is what should be done. Yes?
In the world of a person holding an Izag and Arabite, provided he's asking down.
A person
holding or whatever phone or a need to see a Izag and Arabite, and whatever phone all practical of book. Right? I have heard that there are certain Ramanim that said that you're allowed to go to Mikvah, want to go on Tisha B'Av.
I don't know. Don't know. And finally, there are things we do to remember the destruction of the temple all year long. Number one, when you get married, we put ash on our forehead where we would put tefillin. People sometimes forget this. I don't know why everyone did this, and it's halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Don't forget it. And if in your wedding they're forgetting to do it, so ask them, hey, let's get some ash. We put ash on our forehead where we would ordinarily put tefillin. We put that on before we go to the chuppah, before we go to get married. Some people do it under the chuppah. Whenever we paint the house, we leave an amma by an amma, right? This much by this much. That's not fully painted on the wall to commemorate the destruction of the temple. In Shulchan Aruch it says, I am unaware of anyone who does this, but it does say that when you set the table for a fancy meal, you leave one place empty. You have a setting that's empty to show, I don't have all my guests here, I don't have the temple. When a woman puts on her jewelry, she always leaves something out. She won't get completely dressed up using all her jewelry. Again, the world isn't the perfect place, the temple is destroyed. We break a glass under the chuppah, because we're showing that our happiness is not complete. Some people had the custom that under the chuppah at the wedding, one tablecloth would be black, because we're showing that it's not perfect. It's not the perfect meal. We don't have the temple. That's what we say. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim, tishkach yemini. I should forget my right hand if I forget Yerushalayim. Im lo aleit Yerushalayim, al rosh simchati. I'm going to mention Yerushalayim on top of my happy occasion. We don't listen to music unless it's part of a mitzvah, and even then, but we sing our songs of praise of Hashem. So that's why you'll always see the Jewish songs are actually songs praising the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not just listening to music. That's something which ever since the temple was destroyed, so we're careful about that. Does that include listening to a disc, to an MP3? Each person will ask their local Orthodox rabbi. When a chatan or kala goes to their wedding, so they don't wear golden crowns. They don't wear silver crowns. So today they have these fake crowns that they wear. Right? They have these little crowns that kalot wear, but that's okay. And Chazal said that even when you hear a good joke and even when you're very happy, so a person's laughter should be not completely out of control, because the world is not complete in its wholeness. So even when we laugh, as yimalei schok pinu, we remember that our happiness and our laughter is not 100%. The world is not 100%. There's something missing here. So again, Chazal say, we who mourn the destruction of Jerusalem will merit to see it rebuilt. And Chazal say, when there's a fast day, so the two angels that accompany a person put their hands on his head and they say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, participated, he partook of the mourning of the public, he should merit, they bless him, to see when the public is comforted, when things are brought back to perfection. And that's Bezat Hashem, what we wish upon ourselves as we enter Tisha B'Av. As Rav Moshe Feinstein pointed out to Menachem Begin, Tisha B'Av is the time of our destruction, but it is also the time when redemption begins. Chazal say that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. So we view Tisha B'Av as the beginning of redemption, and as we mentioned last night, this month has two names. From the beginning of the month till Tisha B'Av, it's called the month of Av. From Tisha B'Av onward, it's called the month of Menachem. That's why we call it Menachem Av. The month until Tisha B'Av is we mourn the destruction, and from Tisha B'Av we start anticipating the comfort that's Bezat Shem yet to come.